Matthew chapter number 17. And let's start in verse number 17. The background of the story here, a man comes to the disciples and he has a son that's lunatic, vexed, and has a lunatic, and he needs to be healed. So he comes to the disciples, and the disciples cannot cast the demon out. And this is what Jesus says here in verse number 17. Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured, from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what you've given us in our lives. Thank you, thank you, thank you that we have an opportunity to have your word, to own a copy, and to be able to gather on a Sunday morning freely and have a place to come and worship you and learn a little bit more about you and encourage our lives to make it through the week. And I just pray, dear Lord, that you would use me. I feel so unworthy, but you are worthy. And so I just want to lift up your name a little bit and help some of your saints down here. And I pray that we would be God honoring today. And I pray that your will and way would be done in each one of our lives. We'll give you all the honor and glory for it. In your precious name, Jesus, we love you. Amen. Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." For thy pleasure. So we could say that we were created for his pleasure, or created to please him. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him." So we see that without faith, it's impossible to please him. The reason that we're created is to please him. And so therefore, we must have faith in our life. And I believe on top of that, as we have the faith that we have, not only is it a very important thing, but on top of that, increasing that faith and stepping out and going forward for God and being more pleasing to God. There are three types of faith. And you may call them levels, but we have saving faith, which is given to all repenting sinners. Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And then Romans 5:1, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then we have sanctifying faith, which is available to all believers. Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Ephesians 6:16, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." In Hebrews 10:38, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Okay, and then we have stewardship faith, which is given to some. It's almost a supernatural ability to trust God. Romans 12:3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." 1 Corinthians 12:9, "To another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit," talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And so we have three different types of faith, but no matter what level of faith or what stage of faith that you have faith if you're a born-again child of God. Romans 12:3 tells us that at the end of the verse it says, "According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Talking to the church there. And so every man has a measure of faith. Everybody has a measure of faith. Now, I'm not saying that I believe that you could have the exact same faith that Paul had or that some of the great apostles had, but you can go from the place that you're at now and you can increase that faith and be more pleasing to our Lord. I was maybe 10 years ago today was the first day I walked into a Baptist church. And yet God has seemed to, and he's blessed me. That's all I know how to say. He's been so good in my life. And he has just enabled me and strengthened me and allowed me to go through certain things, to be able to follow God and to serve him. And many times I'd get up when I was, I moved down to Columbus, Ohio, moved away from my parents and moved in the same house as all my brothers. And I don't know why you'd ever want to do that. But I did. I wanted to move back in with all three of my brothers, so we moved down to Columbus. And I was 20 years old, and I'd get up in the morning, and I'd go to church by myself. And then I'd go on Sunday night by myself, and I'd go on Wednesday night by myself. And my brothers would all be sitting there doing something and looking at me thinking, you know, you're crazy. I don't know why you go this often or why you go at all. But we need to stay faithful to what God's given us, and God has just been so good to me. The Bible gives us reference for our ability to increase our faith. 2 Corinthians 10:15. This is Paul talking to the church at Corinth, and he says, "Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule." And then, of course, the verses that we read here this morning in Matthew chapter number 17, Jesus rebukes his disciples for their faithlessness, if that's a word, for their no faith that they have. And then he says, down later on, he says, because of your unbelief, and he says, howbeit this kind comes out by prayer and fasting. And I believe he was teaching them that because you have unbelief and you could not do it, if you had done prayer and fasting, and if you had prayed and fasted, you could have increased your faith, and therefore you could have cast out the demon. And so he was teaching us that we could increase our faith. And I want to share with you just four simple points so you can keep track. When I go 1, 2, 3, and 4, we'll be done. All right? So point number one here, we have apprehending or listening, gaining, gathering. Romans 10:17 tells us, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And I believe this verse here specifically talks about salvation. If you read it, the faith to gain salvation. If you read the verses previous to that, and he talks about going into all the world and preaching the gospel. And he says, how shall they hear if there's not one to be called? And so it's talking about salvation and people gaining the faith of salvation. But I believe the same thing would be true, that if you start with that lowest level of faith and gaining that faith to trust in Jesus Christ, and yet it can be added upon that if you keep building or strengthening your faith by continuing to apprehend or to listen. Infomercials are built on this idea. They want people's testimonies. They want people to keep telling you and telling you, this is a great product. You have to buy it. You have to buy it. How many of you you buy everything you see on infomercial? I mean, everything. Anybody like that? No, you are. Oh, I hope you don't have much money yet. But, you know, I mean, they say there's a sucker born every minute. But, you know, that's what they're built on, is the idea that if we can just get it in you, if you can keep hearing it, that you'll believe it. And you'll go, wow, I've got to have that, honey. Can we just buy one more? I mean, just one, please, I want to get that. And there's so many different things in my life and the illustrations I could give. My brother, I look up to my older brother, and he kind of started us all off on certain trends. And so we all kind of like performance cars, and we like to drive fast cars and different things. And so he talked me into this car here. He said, look, I bought this other car, and I sold it, and I made a lot of money. And he said, this car's just like that. It's a great deal. It's a good buy. He said, I promise you. And so you go out, and you listen to other people, and you read other things, and you're convinced. Man, I mean, I'm convinced this is a good car. It's going to be a good deal. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to drive it for a month. I'm going to sell it and make a lot of money. And so what do? I go out and I buy this car. A 1992 Dodge Stealth Twin Turbo, and it's a nice car. It's beautiful, and it's not perfect, but it's nice. And so I drive it around, and within my first month, two pistons blow up. And I'm thinking, oh, this is not good. This is just not going very well. And I said, it's just a minor problem, though. You know, we can fix that. So we tear the engine out and everything. And while we're tearing the engine out, we're just beating it to snots because I'm thinking we're not going to keep this engine anyway. I had the idea. I've been told, that you can just buy a whole new engine and just put it right in the car. And so I'm thinking, I don't even know how to rebuild an engine or anything. We're just going to throw this one away, and I'm going to get a different one to put in here. Of course, I have no money, so we figure out later, we've got to rebuild that engine. And so I had already taken the cam shafts, and I've welded them onto a couple of steel plates and put them on a rim for my brother for Christmas. It was one of his Christmas presents was an end table that was a rim with cam shafts sticking down. I took the crankshaft, and I welded it onto another one. And so I had him two end stands that he could use in his house and stuff. But now I don't have a crankshaft and I don't have camshafts. And so I'm thinking there's got to be a way to. So we take them off and we try and grind them down and everything. And I send them and the company says, nope. They said, it's too bad. You welded too much on it and everything. They're ruined. And so I'm thinking, okay, this isn't going to work. And so I finally find some other ones. It's not off of a car with turbos, but it's off of another model. And so I send them away to get them ground right for a turbo car. And they send them back, but they forget to mark them. And so we have these four cams, and we're trying to figure out which one they go on. And how do you know that? And so we finally get the motor all put back together and in the car. And it's just bop, 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 bop. And I'm like, this is not good. Why did my brother talk me into this? I all of a sudden lost faith in this car. And so many years later, and a couple other engines, and a new ECU, and lifters, and a fuel pump, and I don't know what else, I was 1 month away from going, or actually a week away from going to Bible college. I called my friend, and I said, do you want this car? I will give it to you if you'll come over and get it out of my driveway. And so he actually was nice and gave me a little bit of money, but I got rid of the car. But we let people do that to us. With worldly things, we let them talk us into things, and we listen to everything they say, and we believe it, and we put our faith in that. But yet with God, many times we say, well, one service is enough. I come to Sunday morning. Try eating physically like we eat spiritually and see how long we make it. And many people come to a pastor and say, I'm just not getting fed. We're going to go somewhere else. And if this is the only time you eat is on Sunday morning, you're not going to make it very long. And you need to feed yourself every morning and listen to preaching and listen to good music CDs from your church and other churches around the area. I know Brother Castle's got some good music and you guys do too. But talk about the Bible with others. Have conversations and sometimes we'll go down the street and I'll just start talking to my wife. Do you know who Joab is? What did he do? What's your opinion on him? I don't know. He's kind of a strange fella, just killing everybody, even though he wasn't really supposed to, and kind of seemed loyal, but yet he killed the people they told him not to. I don't understand him. So sometimes we just talk about the Bible with people and listen to preaching. Come to church when the opportunities are here. And so listen to the things of God, and as you listen to them, it builds your faith. And you continue to listen and listen and listen, and it convinces you, yeah, that's right. I believe I can go to Italy. I can start a church. I don't know why. I've never started a church anywhere else, but I believe I can do it. And God with you, you can. And so listen or apprehend is the first one. Point number two is abstaining. Matthew chapter number 17 talks about this, and he says in verse number 21, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Matthew 6:16 through 18, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And number one, it says there, when ye fast. Not if ye fast, or if ye want to fast, or if you choose to fast, when ye fast. The Bible tells us that, yes, we ought to fast. And in that fasting, Jesus said in Matthew 17, he said, that'll help you be able to strengthen your faith so that you can cast out those demons. And I believe that that is a way to increase our faith. You fast secretly, and God rewards you openly. to the point that you know it, and so do others also, that God is rewarding you, and therefore your faith is increased. Hudson Taylor, how many of you know who Hudson Taylor was? Okay, he was a great missionary to China and started China Inland Missions. And for many, I was reading a book on him, and for many weeks, he ate bread and water alone. And not necessarily because he was fasting, but he was just very poor. He did not have a lot of money, and he was studying to serve God. And so he spent many, many weeks just eating bread and water alone. Well, it happened that he got sick during that same time. And when he went to the doctors, they talked to him, and they said, you know, that you had to take medication and all this stuff. And I believe it was his uncle that helped him pay for some of the medication. But they said that if he was on a regular diet, if he had eaten regular food on a regular basis, like normal people would, three meals a day or whatever, that they said he would have died from that disease. But the fact that he had only eaten bread and water, he was able to fight it off, and it saved his life. And fasting, I promise you, is a big blessing, and it will increase your faith. Moving right along, point number three, asking. So we have apprehending, abstaining, asking, or prayer. Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? And so prayer increases your faith, which again is what he says in Matthew 7:21, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And I believe that prayer increases your faith. We had a few bus kids come in on our bus, and they would come in, and they one time we had a service for teenagers, and we were trying to pump them up and get them excited about going into the Christian school called City Baptist there. And as they came in, I believe four of our teenagers made decisions that they wanted, and they determined that they were willing to do whatever it took to get into City Baptist. Well, we sat down and we explained to them. We said, look, you're probably going to have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and get on a bus. Every day that you have any spare time, we're going to be selling candy trying to raise money, because I don't have any money and I'm not paying for it. And so you said, look, that's just what's going to happen. You're going to have to do those things. You're going to have to wear this. You're going to have to do this. And you're going to have to bring this to school, all these different things. And the kids, three of them, they said, we'll do that. We'll be able to do that, we promise. And so we said, all right, then you guys are going to go in. And I just threw a date out there. I don't know why. I said, April 1st, we're going to put all you guys in the school, and you're going to go in. And I said, we'll go from there. And so we got ready and got started. We had about 1 month to raise some money. So we went out selling candy, selling candy is one of the most humbling things you can ever do. And I think everybody ought to be forced to sell candy for some reason or another. And I go up and ask somebody for a dollar for a candy bar. And so we were out just, you know, selling candy to everybody, and we raised a little bit of money. And I said, you know, these girls, they don't have any clothes and things. And I said, lady workers, would you take these girls and go to the thrift store and just get them some nice clothes and things so that they can have something to wear to school? And that was the wrong idea. I mean, you don't send lady workers shopping anywhere. I mean, they'll find a way to spend a lot of money at a thrift store. And so they go in and they used all our money and they bought the girls some clothes, and so we're back to nothing. And I'm thinking, well, you know, they're supposed to start school here soon. We still don't have any money. I don't know what we're going to do. And it was around $300 a month for each one of them. And you had to have the money in order for them to get in. And it came up to the weekend before they were to go in school. And I told him, I said, you know, we're praying hard, and God's going to come through. I mean, I promise you step your foot out, and you tell God you're going to do it, and it's something that God wants, and it's in His will. He's going to provide for it, I said, I promise. And we got it into church. We went through the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. Sunday night came. church was over. All the bus drivers that drive buses, they go to a meeting afterwards and tell how they wrecked their bus and what they did and everything. And so I went to that meeting afterwards, and I didn't wreck a bus that day, but we went to the meeting, and the man stood up, and the first thing he said, somebody donated money so that 10 kids could go in school in City Baptist this week. But he says, they have to go in this week. We can't take them any later. I mean, they've got to go in this week. And I said, I raised my hand. I said, I have 3 kids. They're going in whether you let them or not. I mean, they're going. So can we have the money? And he said, yeah. And all 3 of them went in tuition free for the entire year. And, you know, which was only 2 more months. But still, you know, they went in on the date. And do you think those kids' faith was increased? Do you think when they sat there, they said, God's not real. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't do anything for us. He's not real. No, I mean, they were excited about it. I was crying when I was telling them. And I said, you see how God worked? I mean, do you see that? I hope you're catching it, because God blesses and he's real. And that'll increase your faith. That'll help you there. How many of you like cats? I mean, you don't, not to eat them. You like to pet them and things, right? You guys like, okay, how many of you do not like cats? You hate them. I mean, you'd cross 5 lanes of highway just to get to one. And all right. And there was this little young girl, just a little girl, and she loved cats. Head over heel. I mean, she loved them. She was crazy about them. Her room decorated in cats and everything. Her mom hated them, despised them. And she said, her daughter would come up to her mom and say, Mommy, can I have a kitty cat, please? Mommy, I want a kitty cat, please. And her mom would say, no, I don't like cats. We're not having a cat. I don't want anything. We're not getting one. No. And the little girl would just come up day after day. You know how little kids are. And they come up day after day. Mommy, today, can I have a kitty cat, please? No, I don't like cats. We're not getting one. And so finally the mom got so tired of it, she went to her pastor and she said, Pastor, what do I do? My little girl, she keeps begging me and begging me. I feel bad, but I don't like cats. We're not going to get one. And the pastor so wisely said, he said, ma'am, if you would have your daughter just pray for a cat, if you just have her pray for one, tell her not to ask you anymore. Tell her to ask God and to beg God. And then if God gives her one, you'll keep it. But ma'am, don't worry. God does not care about this little girl getting a cat. I mean, he doesn't care. And so the lady, oh, Pastor, you're so wonderful. Thank you so much. And so she goes about her business and she goes home. Next day, here comes the little girl, just like clockwork. Mom, can I have a kitty cat? Please, please, please. No. But if you'll ask God for one, and if God gives you one, then we'll keep it. We'll feed it until it gets big and plump and juicy. Then we'll cook it. She said, we'll take care of it. I promise. And the little girl got all excited. Really, Mom? Now, don't ask me anymore, though. You have to ask God, and you have to beg God. And if it takes weeks and months, and you just keep begging God. And the little girl, really, Mom? Really? Wow. And she gets so excited, and she goes over, and she gets on her knees in the backyard, and she starts praying for a little cat in her backyard. That very same day, right around that time, just a couple blocks down the street, Pastor comes out of his door. And Pastor goes to get in his car, pulls out his keys, and he goes to get in his car, and he hears a noise. Meow. Looks around, and he has a little decorative tree in the front yard there, just a little twig of a thing, and there's a little cat stuck at the top of the tree. And I don't have time for this. I've got to go to work. He goes to get back in his car, and the little cat just starts crying. Meow, meow, meow. And he's thinking, oh, this is killing me. He's like, I got to get the cat out of the tree. Yeah, let me think. I got an idea. He goes inside, grabs a bowl of warm milk, and comes back out. Here, kitty, 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 kitty. And the cat's just up there. Meow, meow, meow. And he's thinking, oh, this is just, I could shoot the cat out of the tree, but the neighbors won't like that. And plus, they stole my gun anyway. Let me think here. He said, let me think. What can I do? I got an idea. He says, he runs out to the barn, comes back out, has a big long rope with him, ties it just as high as he can onto that tree, goes over to his car and ties it down to the bottom of his car, and he's looking at it, and yeah, this will work great. I can just pull it down with my car, I'll get out, and I'll just pick the cat out of the tree. It's just a perfect plan. So he gets in his car and he starts to pull forward and he's just watching the little tree bend over. Sure enough, the tree's bending over and it's just coming down and he's looking, oh, this is going to work great. This is going to work. And he just a little bit more. And he pulled just a little too tight and the rope wasn't strong enough and the rope broke. And you know, the tree was bent over and the little puffball was at the top and it boing, meow, and the cat went flying. And then, you know, the pastor looks around and I hope nobody saw me. And he goes over to the next door neighbor. Ma'am, did you hear any funny, strange noises? Did you see any? No? Okay, you have a good day, ma'am. And he forgets all. He says a little short prayer for the cat. Dear Lord, please bless that cat. Amen. And he goes about his way and goes to work. A couple days later, he goes to the grocery store. He's walking down the aisle. He's got a few things in his cart, and he happens to see one of his church members walking down the aisle with a bag of cat food in her arm. He goes up and stops her. Now he says, now, ma'am, I told you, you have to have your daughter pray for a cat. If you just give in, if you buy your daughter everything she wants and you get her, she's not going to learn that she has a God. And she says, no, Pastor, you won't believe it. I promise you. I saw with my own two eyes, Pastor, my little girl, she went out in the backyard. She got on her knees in the backyard. And just then, God threw a cat down from heaven and gave it to my little girl. I don't, they say it's a true story. I don't really believe it, but I mean, you know, do you think that girl's faith was increased? Do you think that girl walked away saying, wow, God's real? Yeah, I mean, your faith gets increased when God answers your prayers. And that God set it up that way. So we use the way that God set it up, and God will bless us through that and increase our faith. Point number four, applying it. Or living it in your life. Put your money where your mouth is. Walk the talk, proving God. This is the exercise or the workout for your faith. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. In Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so when we live it in our life, when we apply it to our life, like Pastor said, when we increase our giving to missions, and we say, Lord, I don't know where this is going to come from. I don't have the, you know, my needs are so many, and I just don't know how it's going to, I'm going to provide for this, but God, I want to increase the giving to missions. I want to increase my faith, and therefore I'm going to give to missions, and I'm going to watch you bless. And God steps in and says, I'd love to. And then all year long, he provides, and you follow through, and he provides, and you say, wow. I mean, I didn't think it was possible at the beginning of the year. I mean, I made that just because God wanted me to, and I felt it in my heart. I prayed about it, and God said, you know, to give this much, and so I did, but I had no idea where it was going to come from. And God blessed. And he's done that so many times. The thing is, you've got to make that first step. When we were getting ready to go to college, my wife was around the same time, but we weren't dating then or anything, and we weren't married then. I was getting ready though, and I had $26,000 in debt. I had a loan on a car for $20,000, another great investment of my brother's that he told me about. You never learn. I'm telling you, I don't know what it is, but I think I learned now not to believe him. I had a $20,000 loan on one car. I had $6,000 in credit card debt fixing my other car. And so I had $26,000 in debt. And within 1 month, from the day I got saved, August 3rd, 2003, to my first day at college, September 2nd, 2003, God provided and paid off every debt I had and gave me some money in the bank. And that's just the way God is. God will bless your faith if you'll put that step forward. I filled out the application. I told him I was going. I had no idea how. I didn't know if I was going to afford it. I didn't know what I was going to do. But I stepped out by faith and I took that first step, and God blessed. And same thing with stepping out for our deputation. No idea what we were going to do. I have a baby on the way. I'm supposed to quit my job and somehow provide housing and somehow insurance on our van and buy the van and everything. How in the world am I going to do that, God? And yet you put your step out, you start making progress, and God opens the doors. We were going to start full-time deputation in September. I already knew what day we were going to Italy. A church gave us the money to take for our plane tickets to go to Italy. And we were going. We got back. But before that, in August, 1 month away from that, we still had no place to live, didn't know exactly what we were going to do. We were just going to have to rent our house, and God was going to supply the money. And met a missionary at a conference, and he said, "Hey, I'm staying down here in Bedford, and you know, you could come live down here. There's an open apartment next to me, and you know, it's real cheap." And so we went down there, saw it, and made the decision we were going down there. And so God will open the doors. He'll provide. He will bless. I promise you. Take that step of faith. Step towards it. Hebrews 11:17. "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Noah had to build that ark without ever have seeing rain. Noah had to build the ark without ever seeing it rain and realizing that, but he knew it was going to happen because God told him. So he started preparing. And because of his faith, him and his household were saved. But somebody here today may be thinking, "I haven't drawn necessarily away from God. I haven't left out anything. I've been maybe doing the soul winning and the Bloomfield 500 coming up. I'm looking forward to all these different things that the church has, and I participate in everything that my church does, but it seems like I'm still lacking something in my relationship with God." Maybe you can pick one or two things out of the list of the four, and I'll tell you them again. I think, yeah. Here we go. Apprehending, abstaining, asking, and applying. Pick one or two, maybe all four if you can, and apply those to your life. And watch how your faith is increased. Watch how you begin to trust God. Maybe there's something in your life that you're hesitant about or you're scared about, and you just don't know if God's going to provide for you. And you're worried about the economy or whatever it is. Listen, when I looked, I was listening to the radio at one point. I think it was during Christmas. And this guy came on and he said, "We just need to get the American people to trust in the government again. We need to get them to trust in their dollar bill. We need to get them to trust in the America that we have." And I looked down at my dollar bill and I read it. And it said, "Trust in God." And I said, "They've got it all wrong. Their focus is completely off. There's no wonder why we're in a situation like we are." If you would apply some of these things to your life, I really believe that it would help you and that God would supply and provide for you and your needs. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the truth here. I thank you for your word and all the blessings that you've given me and in my life. And I don't pretend that this is a earth-shaking message or anything fantastic or amazing, but dear Lord, I just believe it's just a truth that can be applied and help each and every one of us, and I pray that we would make that decision. If there's somebody here today that hasn't even taken that first step of faith and they have not trusted in Jesus Christ, that is the most important step of faith that you can make. Everything else beyond that is insignificant and does not pale in comparison to the amount of your soul trusting in God. If you're here today and you don't know 100% for sure you're going to heaven, I pray that you would first of all stop and think about your soul and take that first step of faith and then begin to increase your faith from there. And for some of us that have been saved a long while or coming to church for a long while, I pray that we would be moved to increase our faith and be more pleasing to you. We love you so much, Jesus.